our time together with a title, it would be, "Don't Make a Move, Your Breakthrough is Coming." This story is a continuation of the call on King David's life, as he had been told much earlier by the prophet Samuel when he was a teenager tending his father's sheep, that he would one day be king over all Israel. That day had come, and David is now king over all Israel. But this did not happen overnight. David had to go through some things before the manifestation of God's word came to fruition. We have all at one time or another heard the story of how David went up against the Philistine giant Goliath and killed him with one blow to his head with a slingshot and one smooth stone. When no one else in the Israelis' army would confront Goliath, David, who was a teenager, said to King Saul, "I'll go up against this Philistine and take him out." King Saul, in his desperation, allowed David to accept the challenge. But he offered David his armor, but David refused it and said it was too big. It was too heavy for him. David knew from past victories that his success did not come from what he had on, but by who was with him, God. David was acting on the anointing that God had given him, not on what God had given Saul. We have to be careful how we take action based on someone else's covering, but recognize that we can only have success with the covering that God has placed on us. David knew from times past it was God who gave him the victory over his other enemies, his other adversaries, and only God would be able to do it again. David remembered the bear and the lion and how God gave him strength and power to overcome the enemy. We all have testimonies if we were to look back and see where God has brought us from. All the times God made a way for us out of no way. All the times the enemies tried to overtake us, God would say, "This is my people. Take his hand off of them." Here was David again having to face the Philistines. The word says that the Philistines heard David and had made king over all Israel and decided to come out against him. Now, David had recently been anointed king, promoted, celebrated, and crowned high ruler over Israel. Things were looking pretty good for King David, but then trouble and opposition showed up in the Philistines. You remember them, don't you? They were the ones who had watched David as he slayed Goliath. I would imagine the Philistines were still angry with David, and now here he was, crowned king. No doubt they hated David and decided that when he became king, they were going to dethrone him right away. David was facing opposition. You see, opposition is the enemy to breakthrough. God anoints and God appoints, but it doesn't mean that man approves. That's how the enemy works. When God is blessing us, elevating us, promoting us, the enemy will come up after us with a mighty force of opposition to block our blessings and distract us. The enemy comes to frighten us and turn us around so we won't claim our blessings. The enemy comes to scare us into hiding. We have to do what David did. David went to the Lord in prayer and asked God, "Direct my path, God." Asking God to tell him what to do so the enemy could not, would not overtake him and take his blessings. We have to be like David and inquire of the Lord, so we will know how to avoid the pitfalls and the traps the enemy has laid for us. You see, everyone is not going to be happy about your blessing. Let's just get that straight right here and now. Everybody is not going to celebrate what God is doing in your life. Everybody is not going to be able to see the anointing that God has for you. But that doesn't mean that we run and that we hide. It just means that we stand on the word of God. You see, David understood the victory he won in the past was by the power of God, made plain by him by the sovereign word of God. God controls the fate of his people, his nation, and no person or persons can overthrow God's purpose and his plan for our lives. I have often listened to my son talk about the conspiracy theorists who said that our destinies are in the hands of a few people, who sit in some hidden back room orchestrating what will happen to us next as a people and a nation. My response to him is, maybe it's true There may be some group or groups of people, a cartel of sorts, who think that they are in control. But no matter what anyone says or does, if it doesn't line up with God's plan, it's a waste of time. The enemy will try anything to do what only God can do through his power. In these last few weeks, as I've been watching the news, the impending 50th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy is about to take place on this Friday, November the 22nd. There has been much talk about the conspiracies around his death. Maybe it was a conspiracy by a group, while others have tried to prove that it was the doing of one lone man named Harvey Oswald. Whether it was a group or one person, as believers, we know that it was his time, but out of his death, much changed in this country. You see, President Kennedy brought the Civil Rights Act before the Congress on June 11, 1963, the same year he was assassinated. But you see, the law, the Civil Rights Act, was passed 7 months after his assassination on June 15, 1964. That 1964 Civil Rights Act made racial discrimination in public places such as theaters, restaurants, and hotels illegal. It also required employers to provide equal employment opportunities. You see, projects involving federal funds could now be cut off if there was any evidence of discrimination based on color, race, or national origin. You see, the enemy cannot stop God's plan, no matter what he does. Here, now we have David about to face his enemies once again. But before he makes a move, he inquires of the Lord. The Valley of Rephaim was the most direct route to the city of Jerusalem. But David recognized that Baal Perazim was a place of breakthroughs. You see, the Philistines, in confidence and defiance displayed, made a raid of Israel's territory. You see, the enemy has confidence when he's coming up against us. Yeah. The Philistines said everything that they sent everything that they had, all of their weapons of war against David, because they remembered that David had slain Goliath. The Philistines took up their position in the Valley of Rephaim on the west and southwest of Jerusalem. All communications between Bethlehem and Jerusalem was intercepted while David and his army was encamped there. The first thing the enemy will try to do is cut off our communications with God, because he knows when the anointed pray and call out on God, he is in trouble. You see, great and mighty things happen when the anointed pray. If the devil can cut off your communications with God, if he can't do it, then he will attempt to ambush you right at the point of breakthrough. You see, we must recognize that it is through the valley we must go to get to the breakthrough. That's why David could say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, though I walk through the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comforts me." Even if the enemy is coming up against you this morning, despite all that you are doing for God, then you know that you're at the breakthrough point. You are not at your breaking point. You are at your breakthrough point. I want you to get that. You are not at your breaking point. You are at your breakthrough point. The enemy is bold and he's rebellious. He'll come right up in your face, in your space, your home, and try to terrorize you. But you should get bolder and more courageous, because you know who you have on your side. You got God. You must remember the promises of God, because if you don't, you'll find yourself spinning around in confusion, asking yourself, is this situation too big for me? Am I going to be defeated? Do I have what it takes to win this battle? The enemy has always appeared to have the upper hand just before the breakthrough. When we begin to fear, we become paralyzed. We need God to get to the breakthrough. just before the raise, the promotion, the acceptance letter, the next level, the enemy will come and try to sabotage your breakthrough. But don't you move until God say move. The enemy will try to fill you with fear because he knows that fear is a wall that can block your progress to the next level. Your fear will cause you to question whether you deserve the raise. Am I qualified for the job? Can I do the work? Am I ready for the next level? But the devil is a liar. The same enemy tried to run Jesus, tried Jesus as he went into the desert to be tried for 40 days and 40 nights. He tried him first with food. Then he tried him with power. Then he tried it with dominion. But Jesus said to him, "Get ye behind me, Satan." He tried Jesus over and over again, right up until the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus stood his ground and prayed to the one who would strengthen him because he knew he was anointed and appointed for the job. When you know you've been anointed and appointed for the job, you got to stand your ground. You got to pray and ask God, "Help me, God. The enemy is coming up against me." David and his army came up against the Philistines, and they slaughtered them all. The power of God was so strong that David says, "As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemy." At the power of God, the enemy ran so fast that they forgot their idol gods. So that's why that verse 12 says the Philistines had abandoned their gods there. And David gave orders, "Burn them in the fire." Then he went on, the verse 13 says that, and once more the Philistines raided the valley. You see, the enemy don't stop. They keep right on coming. That's why the word of God is so important. He's not going to attack you once, twice. He's going to keep right on coming. The enemy will not stop as long as he thinks he has a chance to destroy you. He will come one way today and another way tomorrow. He will do whatever he thinks he can do to stop you from receiving your blessing. When the second attack came, in that verse 14 and 15. So David inquired of the Lord again, and God answered him, "Do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in front of the balsam tree." As soon as you hear the sound of marching on the top of the trees, move out to battle, because that will mean that God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. You see, God told David, don't attack head on. Circle around in back of them and come at them outside of the balsam tree. When you hear the sound of marching feet at the top of the balsam tree, attack, and I'll be two steps ahead of you slaughtering the Philistines. It seems to me that the Philistines thought that Israel was retreating. But you know, that's what the enemy thinks when we are in step with God. You see, God will cover what's going on, but you gotta be in step with God. And so the army of Israel marched away from the battlefield. So the Philistines thought they were running and hiding from them. But God instructed David very simply. He says, "Leave the battle line in front of the Philistines. Circle around behind them and just wait among the balsam trees until you hear the wind blowing the leaves. Then you make your attack." This was to be a surprise attack from the rear, led by the Spirit of the living God. There is no greater chance of victory than to have a complete surprise upon your unsuspecting enemy. Surprise your enemy today and don't bother arguing. Surprise your enemy today and don't bother debating their negative opinions of you. Just wait on the Lord and let the Lord fight your battle. You see, the enemy will come right in your face and start talking, thinking they can get something out of you. But I want you to listen to what God is saying. He says, "Step back and let me take over. And so that's what we have to do when the enemy comes up against you. The sound of marching feet was heard, and the leaves began to move, and it was far more than that. I want you to recognize this. It was far more than that. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, was blowing across those trees, seeing the enemy from a different perspective. He was striking terror in the eyes and the hearts of the Philistine, and they fled as never before. You see, God is always two steps ahead of us to clear us the way for us. We have to call upon the Lord when we're in battle and know that you cannot do it by yourself. For the word of God says the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. This brings us to our word for today. The first thing we must do when the enemy attacks is talk to God. The enemy comes to block our blessings, but we must do what David did. Refuse to move until you talk it over with the Lord. Sometimes well-meaning family and friends may encourage us to go on and do this and do that. But when we're talking to the Lord, we'll have to wait and hear what God has to say. You see, the enemy will come breathing down on us. The enemy will come taunting us. The enemy will come telling us we can't make it. We can't have the blessings. We're not worthy of the blessings that God has for us. But we must go to the Lord and inquire after him, for he and he alone knows the plan that he has for your life. This morning I shared with the congregation a testimony when I was in corporate America. I had been working there for a very long time, and I had gotten promotions along the way, but I got to this place of about 10 years when nothing was happening. I was getting a raise every year, but I was not getting promoted. And people all around me was being promoted. I would get these great evaluations, but no promotion. I was getting a little frustrated on the job. And so I was sent to a conference in Nashville, Tennessee. And while I was at this conference, I met this woman who was from New Jersey. She owned a company. And she said to me, she asked me what I did. I told her what I did on my job. She said, she gave me her call. She said, I want you to call me when you get back. I have a job that I think you would qualify for. I took the card, but I said, I'll think about it. I'll let you know. And so when I got back to the office, you know how Satan can start whispering in your ear. Every little thing gets on your nerves all of a sudden. And so I made the phone call. And I called the woman and I made an appointment. But the night before I was going in to meet her, I had a dream. And in the dream, this hand just fell down on the table with a big diamond ring on it. I looked at it and I said, well, I ain't got no diamond ring, so maybe God is trying to tell me something, but we'll see. I went on to the interview. When I got to the interview and the woman started telling me all about the job, and I asked about the benefits and what it would mean and where the backup plan was and all this, and it just wasn't sounding right, and I could feel it in my spirit started to bubble over in me. Something ain't right here. Something ain't right here. And so just as I took the paper she gave me to fill out, she took her hand and she slammed it on the table, and there was this big diamond ring. I said, Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus. I know I am not in the right place. As I took those papers and I began to fill them out, but I kept right on praying. God, if you get me out of here. God, if you take me back to where I belong. God, I'll stay in my place till you move me, God. Lord, I know that you're able. I know that you will. She got up and she left. She said, I gotta go. But I want you to take your paperwork and give it to the receptionist outside. I said, okay, I can do that. I was so happy she was gone, I didn't know what to do. And then I fill out the paper, and I took it to the receptionist. And just as I hand the paper to her, I looked up at her, and there she had with this big brooch of this fake diamond ring on. I said, praise you, God, because you are a God that confirms what you're trying to say. I got myself up out of there, and I went on back home. I went to work the next day, and I thanked God. I said, Lord, it may not be all that I want it to be, but I thank you, God. I got a roof over my head, oh, God. Lord, I got food in my refrigerator, oh, God. I can pay my son's tuition, oh, God. Lord, I bless your name, Jesus. About 2 weeks later, the company sent me to our local user group conference. And I'm in the conference, and my phone just kept going off, just kept going off. And it was my boss, and I said, now, she know I'm in workshops. I'll call her when I get out of here. So I got out, I went, and I called her. I said, what's going on? You just calling and calling. You know I'm in work. She said, I'm so excited. I got a big surprise for you. I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, in the past, I was trying to get you a promotion, but it just didn't come through. She said, but I kept right on at it, and sure enough, your promotion has come through. She said, not only did your promotion come through, but you got a raise on top of the promotion. You see, it should have been 10%, but they're going to give you 18% to make up for when you weren't getting your promotion. So I thank God. You got to know, don't you move. Your blessing is coming. The second thing that we must do when the enemy is trying to block our breakthrough, we gotta wait until we hear what God says that we should do before we make a move. Don't attack head on. Circle around behind the enemy. The Lord told David then, when you hear the sound of marching feet at the top of the balsam tree, then you attack. You have to learn how not to get ahead of God. But wait for the Lord will renew your strength. You gotta learn how to follow instructions. Some of us can't follow instructions. We do it our way, but God is saying, follow instructions. You gotta learn how to trust God, knowing that He knows what is best for you. He knows when the blessing is ready for you. God will give you a vision of what is to come, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. It means that it's on the way. There's some preparation He got to do. There's a testimony in the middle of it. God is going to get the glory out of your situation. The enemy will try to put doubt in your mind, but you are to rebuke that enemy and wait on God. Remind yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The third thing we are to do when the enemy tries to block our blessings, but God says, okay, now it's time to move. And some of y'all have heard God say, it's time to move, but you're still sitting there. Don't miss your blessing. The window is open. Go through it. Don't sit on it, because you don't know when it's coming around again. It takes courage to step out in faith. It takes prayer to step out in faith. It takes fasting to step out in faith. We have to use wisdom, knowing that God has gone ahead of us and cleared the path. We have to use discernment and know that the Lord has subdued your enemy. You have to have faith and know that God would not lead you astray. The word of God in James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that gives liberally to all men. We may have book knowledge and training from school, but wisdom is the ability to use knowledge to successfully meet the challenges of life. Somebody will get that when you get home. Like David, do not assume that because you have gone up against the enemy before, that you can do the same thing the same way the next time. There's a new attack and there's a new trap. David knew that each time he needed to go to the Lord to get instructions. David's life is an example to every believer that we will not succeed for long if we do not consistently seek God for His will, His guidance, and His help. Satan, like the Philistines, may have come up against you and wreaked havoc in your life. But if you seek God, He will fight your battle. Perhaps we have assumed that God will just fix it and lose the battle because we thought that God would move again as He had done in the past. But I want to share something with you today. God will let you fight your own battles if you want to. And He will let you lose them too if you don't call on Him. Calling upon the Lord for His grace and His presence is an ongoing need for our lives. If we neglect to turn continuously to God for his help, we will find ourselves facing life's troubles and demands alone, without the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 5, and 14 says, to live after the Spirit is to seek and submit to the Holy Spirit's direction, and to enable and concentrate one's attention on the things of God. It is to live consciously at all times in the presence of God, trusting him to give you the help and the grace we need to accomplish his will in and through us. As I take my seat, I want to share a story with you. This one's not mine. I was telling the congregation earlier this morning that in my readings, I read that male pastors and preachers, when they preach, they give the testimonies of other people. But women preachers and pastors give their own testimonies. But this one happens not to be mine. I gave you mine already. I read a story about a young man who approached the foreman of a logging crew and asked for a job. And the foreman says, that depends. Let me see you fall this tree. The young man stepped up forwardly and skillfully fell the great tree. Impressed the foreman says, you can start on Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday roll by. And on Thursday afternoon, the foreman approached the young man and says, you can pick up your paycheck on the way out today. Startled, the young man replied, I thought you paid on Friday. Normally we do, answer the foreman, but we are letting you go today because you have fallen behind. Our daily felling chart shows that you have dropped from first place on Monday to last place on Wednesday. The young man responded, but I'm a hard worker. I arrive first, I leave last, and even have worked through my coffee break. The foreman, sensing the young man's integrity, thought for a minute and then asked the question, have you sharpened your axe lately? The young man replied, I've been working too hard to take the time. When we go through life without sharpening our axe, seeking God's direction and his plan for our lives, we are a lot like this young man. You see, our efforts become powerless and fruitless. But when we seek God's direction, follow his plan, and let him reveal his power, nothing can stop us. You sharpen your axe with prayer. You sharpen your axe with the word of God. You sharpen your axe with fasting. You sharpen your axe with meditation. You sharpen your axe by tithing. You sharpen your axe by doing something for somebody else. How can you pray if you never pray? How can you know scripture if you don't read the word of God? If you want God's power to flow through your life, you need to follow David's foolproof plan for victory. You got to talk your situation over with God. You got to wait and hear what God says you should do before you make a move. And then you got to step out on faith when God tells you to do it. You see, the Israelites thought that they were at the breaking point at the Red Sea. But God says to Moses, you have your breakthrough in your hand. You see, there was a famine in the land, and the widow woman with her just enough meal and oil for one more cake for her and her son to eat and to die. And though they were at their breaking point, but the man of God, Elisha, showed up on the scene, and the meal and the oil continued to last until the famine was over. You see, it was her breakthrough point. The woman with the issue of blood thought she was at her breaking point. She had been to every doctor, spent every dime, but by the grace of God, she found herself on the same street with Jesus and received her breakthrough. You know, the devil thought Jesus was at the breaking point at the cross, but Jesus was at the breakthrough point for you and for me. You see, they nailed him to the cross. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. They pierced him in his side. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he rose with all power in his hands. Don't you move. Your blessing is coming. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and says, I'm I'm on the same street this morning with Jesus, and my breakthrough is coming. This is not my breaking point. This is my breakthrough in Christ. I don't know about you, but I know that God can do anything but fail. I'm at the breakthrough point. You've been standing there looking at this Red Sea for a long time, but God says you got it right in your hands. If you will just hold up your hands and trust me, I will open up your sea and you will go through on dry land and your enemy you shall see no more. We're looking at ourselves when we should be looking at God. You are not at your breaking point. You are at your breakthrough point. The mere fact that you are in here tells me that you are at the breakthrough point. You could be anywhere this morning at Bedside Baptist, but you chose to be in Mount Olive Baptist. Don't you get it twisted. You cannot do it by yourself. Lord, we thank you. Lord, that you're still giving breakthroughs. We thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit is still moving through the trees. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that when we listen for you, God, and we wait to move, and we wait to move, that God will go ahead of us. He'll be two steps ahead of you. He didn't say one. He said, I'll be two steps ahead of you. And the enemy I'll slaughter, that you shall see no more.